Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source, a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences and related topics, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. I am your host, Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and I'm very, very pleased to be with you. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers, and there will also be call-in opportunities so people can ask questions or make comments during the show. Please take down this number so you can ring in if you wish to. Telephone 888-268-4313. Again, that is 888-268-4313. And this is also good for international calls. I also encourage you to visit my website, towardthelight.org. And you can also help support this program by making a donation, which is very much appreciated because that will help keep us going. And also, if you want to be a guest on our show, you're welcome to submit an email with your request. This week, we've got a very special guest who has got a lot in common with me, as it turns out. She is a Reiki master. She does hypnotherapy. And she has also done a lot of work with intuition and counseling, and also doing a new, or rather not so new, healing modality called Emotional Freedom Technique. And the reason I say not so new, because it is based on an ancient wisdom using acupuncture, acupressure, and that sort of thing. So we're going to be talking about all of these things, and I want to welcome Donna Edwards. Hello, Donna.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Well, it is such a pleasure to have you with us, and I was really excited when I was reading about some of the things that you do, because, of course, we do have a tremendous amount in common. We both do Reiki. We're both intuitive counselors, and I guess a lot of people are preferring to use the word intuitive because there seems to still be a stigma associated with the word psychic. But I'm not ashamed to admit that I am a psychic and I am a medium. And then you also do the Emotional Freedom Technique, EFT. And that is very interesting because I recently started studying that myself. So why don't we start with you telling us a bit about that, and actually you can just sort of share whatever you want to, because this is a very sort of comfortable, relaxed program. But this is something that is so auspicious to me because I started studying it just a few weeks ago and actually applying it. So tell us, feel free to share with us, how you got into this and how it has worked for you.
Well, as you know, our bodies are comprised of energy and for that reason have a profound electrical nature. And the concept behind EFT is that our negative emotions are actually a disruption in this electrical nature in the body. And that we have thoughts that produce memories of a particular emotion, and that again in turn disrupts the process of the normal flow of energy throughout the body. So the EFT process is to tap on particular acupressure points to try to free those areas of blockage. It has become very popular in recent years as a very quick and effective method to alleviate physical problems, emotional problems, mental problems without intensive therapy. And I have found with myself, with working on my own emotions, that it has been very effective and very freeing. And with my having the intuitive skills as well, while I'm using the EFT, I find that I'm getting information intuitively about myself or perhaps about events that have occurred in the past that lead me to get deeper into different aspects of a particular issue. And that's one thing that EFT addresses, is that what we perceive to be a problem on the surface may not really be the depth of the issue, and there are many aspects. And in order to treat a particular concern, you have to look into the, all of the aspects related to that. It's been very effective with people that I have treated for stress management, to get to the issues around stress, and then just to tap out stressful events or traumatic experiences that they have had in the past. And it's quite freeing where the perhaps stressful situation has been limiting them from moving forward in their lives. And then with the use of EFT, they're able to, again, get to the root of that and release the blockage. So with its being called emotional freedom technique, that is certainly not a misnomer. That is exactly what we're doing with it when we help people.
I actually gave a reading to a client several days ago in New York, and he was asking, you know, what is causing me to behave this way, to be so to feel like I just can't move forward. There's a lot of phobias that he was dealing with, and mm-hmm. one of the first things that I mentioned to him was EFT, and I actually sent him an email of a website, emofree.com. Is that the one that you are familiar
yes,
with?
Yes, and the founder is Gary Craig.
Gary Craig.
That is his website, and there is a great deal of information on the website for the novice, and actually manuals that you can print out on your own. And it's best to do this under the guidance of a counselor, but frequently I will lead people through several sessions and then suggest that they continue on their own, and that has been quite helpful as well.
Well, I attended a workshop, back in 2002. Yes, that's right. Here in Nashville, and someone had adapted a very similar technique. All of this based on Dr. Roger Callahan. Am I saying his name correctly?
I believe so.
And it was so interesting going to the workshops, learning this. It had also to do with tapping, with doing the affirmations, touching special places on our bodies, the acupressure points as you were talking about, and
mm-hmm.
also using kinesiology, muscle testing.
Yeah.
And actually learning how to muscle test on our own, to talk to our bodies, because our bodies don't lie. And as I was in this workshop, I was thinking, wow, how much this really, resonates with the work that I've done with the near-death experiences, too, because whilst on the other side, number one, I could see energy fields, because everything that appears to be solid on the physical plane really is not. It is just a hologram, which consists of waves and particles. So I was seeing the waves, and I was actually seeing the energy. And everything in existence is energy, as you know.
Yes, and it's all vibration and frequency.
Exactly, and energy cannot die. It just changes form. So the interesting thing with this, too, as you were pointing out, is that it addresses the cause of these issues, whether they be physical, psychological, emotional, or spiritual, and that one doesn't need to deal with hours upon hours of talking to a psychotherapist and taking drugs, which really are not going to do anything to remedy the situation. or the
mm-hmm.
issue at
because
all.
Issues are held in the body energetically.
Exactly.
We are energy, and the emotions create an energy, and our mental processes or thinking also put out an energy. And this is being obviously stored somewhere. As you said, the energy doesn't die. And in this case, based on the theory behind the EFT, the emotions and events of our lives are being stored in the physical body. So as we tap them out of the physical body, we are at the same time releasing the emotions or releasing any stored subconscious thoughts that may be around that particular concern.
And I guess metaphorically it could be like emptying the recycle bin on the computer and doing a defrag, you know, just restructuring everything in a very, very easy and gentle way that is not painful at all. Now, perhaps you could give us a little bit of a description about, you know, the tapping and, you know, advise our listeners exactly what that is and what it feels like. And also, there are affirmations, is that correct, that we repeat whilst doing the tapping on these specific
yes,
touch
points? Yes, that's true. We begin with what is termed a psychological reversal. So if there's any reason why perhaps we may not be believing that this is going to work or that we can resolve a particular issue, we begin with a statement that says, even though I have problem X, I deeply and completely accept myself. So that's breaking down any resistance that we may have. And that's done on what is normally referred to as the sore spot in the chest area, which coincidentally is related to the lymphatic system. So as you are rubbing on that spot and repeating the affirmation, I deeply and completely accept myself, you are already getting energy moving by releasing any blockage that may be in the lymphatic system. So that, of course, gives us a good start. And then there are certain positions that we begin tapping on while still repeating an abbreviated version, such as depression, for example. So even though I have depression, I deeply and completely accept myself. Then you begin tapping on the indicated acupressure points while repeating depression. So you're letting each of those meridian aspects hear what it is that you are treating. And you begin by treating to the inside of the eyebrow, and then you move to the outside of the eye, under the nose, the chin area, and you're tapping perhaps 7 to 9 times with your index and middle finger on each of those areas. Then you move to the collarbone, under the arm, and then begin tapping on the fingers. So you go roughly through each of the fingers and then tap on the side of the hand. And then you begin another process, which is actually integrating the left and right hemispheres of the brain. And that is involving moving the eyes in particular directions, looking upward and downward, and to the left and to the right, circling the eyes, and then what surprises everyone, humming a few bars of Happy Birthday, and then counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then repeating the Happy Birthday again. And I think people are always amused when they get to this part, and some may question that this actually works because that seems to be a rather silly thing to do. But again, it's just linking the hemispheres of the brain, and in that way working with the subconscious mind to help release anything that it may be holding. And then we go back to the beginning again with the tapping procedure. And we start this by asking the person on a scale of 1 to 10, when they think about the particular issue or concern, how serious or how intense is it at that point? And then after each process of the EFT, we ask them again on that same scale of 1 to 10, where are you feeling it presently? And then from that point on, obviously, we're hoping to get down to a 0. And then, as I said, that people who feel comfortable can continue the process on their own as well.
Now, is there something significant about the music of Happy Birthday, or is it because of what it connotates, wishing you basically good fortune on your new year, as it were? Or would you know about that? That's really interesting.
Well,
because I'm also in music, so that's significant to me to know that.
Actually, I think that was just chosen because it's a popular tune that most people can relate to. And the humming of the Happy Birthday is activating the right side, or the creative, freer side of the brain. And then the counting is very analytical or logical, which is the left side of the brain. Actually, I don't use Happy Birthday. I started with that, and then I must have brought up a memory of a birthday that wasn't real pleasant for me, and I decided I didn't want to use Happy Birthday. So, and being a bit of a Francophile, what I hum to myself instead is La Marseillaise, and that works very well for me.
Okay, so we can hum a different tune that resonates with those, that is meaningful to us.
Yes,
well.
Anything that, but as I said, it's the humming itself that gets us into the right brain activity.
Well, that's almost like doing Om, isn't it? Because
there's
a very special resonance that takes place when we hum. And also, it's interesting that you're noting here the activating, balancing both the right and the left hemispheres, because as a Reiki practitioner myself, and you know about the positions that we do around the head of ourselves as well as our clients, and using the symbols, and this the focus there also is to balance the hemispheres and to bring them both into play in a more balanced way. And I tend to be predominantly right brain, go figure.
Yes, that doesn't surprise me.
I am a mystic and into all things spiritual and creative. And my weaker side is, of course, the left side, although there's a bit of that does work. But it's really important for people to note that this is all dealing with energy. It's non-invasive. And in fact, with Reiki, and I think the same is true with EFT, that no harm can ever come to anyone through experiencing these treatments.
That's absolutely correct. And one of the reasons that people gravitate toward the EFT is that it can be used, for example, for post-traumatic stress syndrome, and you don't have to relive the experience. And I know that hypnosis also works to some degree with that, but then you're being taken back into the situation that created the trauma. And EFT does not do that. It works simply with the after effects of the trauma that are being held in the body. And Reiki certainly is known as a very soothing, relaxing energy, and could in no way do harm to anyone.
Well, it seems like these would very much complement one another, these two modalities, because again, they're both dealing with energy, they're both very gentle, they're both non-invasive. And I'm really excited that I sort of stumbled upon this recently, and then a friend sent a link, and I thought, aha, okay, this is really
cool. That's a sign.
Ooh, big time.
And that should complement your practice very nicely.
I think so. Now, is it something that can be done remotely? Like maybe tapping ourselves, using ourselves as a surrogate for somebody else?
Yes, you can do that. You can do it just directing someone over the phone and remotely to that degree. But, yes, you can also use someone as a surrogate where another person is actually tapping on your behalf, which, again, is speaking to what you were saying about energy,
mm-hmm.
that it can be transmitted to another person through a surrogate where the person does not have to be physically touched. So it is traveling across many waves and working at a vibratory level to heal people without their even being present.
Well, I've done most of my Reiki practice remotely. I've got clients in Europe and I've done people all over America. And they feel it. They actually report back to me a tremendous difference. And it is really, really special because, again, these things are not weakened through time and space. It is something that really is beyond time and space as we know it on this dimension.
That's correct. And I think also we hear so much recently the term the power of intention.
Yes.
And as we are doing the Reiki, we are certainly sending love and our good thoughts and intention to the person as well. And that in itself can be healing. And they say that that's how prayer works, that it is actually putting out a healing energy in our positive intention that we are directing toward another person when we pray for them.
Well, it's really nice how even now in the scientific community, we're able to prove that prayer works. We're able to prove that all of this stuff that is invisible to the human eye is intensely powerful and effective. And love is the motivating force behind all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel such joy when I am doing Reiki. In fact, I was doing Reiki before the show just to center myself and to ready myself for serving the world and all of humanity in any way I can. Now, there's an interesting thing that I would like to ask you about, talk to you about, because when I was in this workshop a few years ago, and it's similar type of thing completely. They were talking about removing what they referred to as pictures, from the traumas. And of course, myself being born during World War II in England, and they were bombing Lancashire when I was born, I am still dealing with that, with those memories. And when 9/11 happened here in America, a lot of those memories just started coming back to me, and anytime I heard any sound, I would just jump like crazy, and I just said, oh, dear. And it was shortly after that that I found out about this healing modality. And one of the things that was explained during the workshop, which I thought was really very good and useful information, is that our cells are either in growth mode or protect mode.
Mm-hmm.
And when the cell is in protect mode, it is closed down. And actually, every little cell of our body has got these little itsy-bitsy feelers, like little hairs around it that are, how do you call it, they receive or they draw in nutrients and light and what have you. They're receptors.
Mm-hmm.
But when the cell is in protect mode, you know, the sort of fight or flight type of mode, they shut down and they're not able to receive. So when we are still dealing with so much of the traumas or the stress or depression or whatever the issue may be, then the cells cannot receive healing because they are not in the growth mode.
That's fascinating.
So I really appreciated this workshop so much because they were explaining that through these modalities that we are talking about, as a result of this work, it actually puts the cells back into growth mode so that they can receive healing and they can receive nutrients and they can receive love. And they're no longer in this totally shut down phase, which actually causes them to die. So I said, oh, this is really, really significant information. And
very much so. And as they say that, of course, if the cells are dying, that can create a change in cell structure, which can result in physical dis-ease. And they say that so much of our physical illnesses are brought about by our mental and our emotional states. So certainly if we're holding the emotions in the physical body, that could manifest down the road as disease. So it is important that we have such techniques as EFT, where we can literally tap out and free those emotions and perhaps prevent a disease that could have possibly manifested down the road a bit.
Well, indeed, like I was dealing with terminal cancer that killed me back in 75, 76. And one thing that is also really important, because I know people start to become a little bit hard on themselves and one another, is that it's really important that we not judge ourselves or somebody else because of suffering from any kind of disease.
Oh, absolutely.
And be very, very kind and loving towards ourselves, and then just take gentle measures to remedy the situation and to eliminate it, like a cosmic house cleaning. We're just clearing out our systems of toxins that just are not supporting our growth and evolution.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And as they say, with our being one with the God source, when we come in to a given incarnation, we are perfect health because God is perfect health. So if we do find that we have dis-ease in our body, then rather than viewing it as an illness or something that is quote-unquote wrong, just simply, as you said, start taking gentle measures to restore ourselves back to that state of perfect health. And part of that is the detoxing or releasing emotions or mental attitudes that may have perhaps contributed to something manifesting as dis-ease. But yes, and life is about growth also, and sometimes if we do manifest an illness, that can be our very best teacher and can lead us to a greater spiritual depth as well.
Well, I'll give you a wonderful example of what you have just mentioned. And I've got to laugh at myself a bit because it's been rather typical. I tend to be, a bit of a busybody or a workaholic. I'm always doing something because I'm wanting to be productive and creative. So sometimes, in order to get me to just stop and rest, I become ill. Spirit kicks me on and down on my bum and says, "All right, are you going to rest now?" So then I look at the illness and I realize, okay, I need to rest. And this was Spirit's way of telling me, time out, you know.
Yes, Spirit always knows best, doesn't it? When we don't know sometimes or we're not paying attention, they can simply take over and do what is always for our highest good, even though it may seem difficult to us in the moment.
And things do manifest for a variety of different reasons and not at all what somebody might think. And also, again, we need to get over judging people that because they are ill or disabled or what have you, that they've done something quote-unquote bad in a past life. And just realize that maybe that physical limitation is there to teach tolerance, to teach compassion.
Oh, absolutely. And people who are born with some sort of perhaps disability or what could be perceived as a quote-unquote handicap have actually chosen that prior to coming into a particular incarnation. So they have undertaken quite an honorable mission in choosing that, and they should certainly be honored and respected by the rest of us for the difficult tasks that they have undertaken. And as you said, they are always teaching love or compassion or coming into this life for other people and not for themselves. They're here to perhaps teach their parents or other family members or to teach all of us to have greater love and compassion.
Well, I was traumatized at birth and ended up being what they call legally blind, and I have been that way all of my life.
So you see from a higher perspective then.
Yes, I do. And in recent years, I've been able to embrace the blindness as a real friend and ally because, number one, it has enabled me to keep focused on what is really important, and that is the higher visions and seeing into other dimensions and really connecting with that. And also, it has exempted me from getting involved with things, especially mundane things in the physical plane that I just assume not be involved with. So it has been a real blessing in huge ways. And what is interesting is that I have overcome terminal illnesses such as meningitis, cancer, pneumonia, tuberculosis, and I could name a whole bunch of things that I have recovered from, but I have not recovered from the blindness. And I have just had to realize that there's a reason for this, that there's a reason that I am to remain physically blind anyway, or partially blind, because of the work that I was sent to this plane to do. But it was really sad when somebody sort of made a tongue-in-cheek remark, oh, did you poke out somebody's eyes in a past life, and that's why you're blind now?
Oh, my goodness.
And I had to say, you know, that's not even a good joke.
No.
It was in very poor taste.
Absolutely not.
And there we go with the judgments again, because, you know, it had nothing to do with anything like that. There is a reason, and I think the blindness is really a tool. It's got nothing to do with the punishment.
Oh, absolutely not, and certainly a an honorable undertaking that you chose that to be part of your path in this lifetime. And as you said, it has in part kept you out of the material world to the extent that the rest of us live it, and has brought you deeper into spirit. And I know that myself, with being a channel and a very spiritual person, that there are many times that I deal with the material world much more so than I would like to be. So in that way, for you, it is a tremendous gift that you can put your focus where all of us would ideally like to have our focus.
Well, I feel very blessed to do this work, and let's talk about your channeling, too, because that's something that we've got in common. And I would really like to help sort of clarify some things and remove any sense of uneasiness around this, because it's just, it's something so natural. And again, we're talking about energy, we're talking about telepathy, or this is how I've come to really see what this work is that we are just telepathically transmitting. It's like being a cosmic telephone operator.
Yes, it is.
Wouldn't you say? Because
yes,
we're tuning in to an entity either on this plane or on the other side, and that entity is able to tap into our switchboard, and then we in turn convey the message to somebody on this plane who's just not really quite learned how to tap into these higher frequencies. So why don't you share a little bit about your channeling work, and also what called you, what drew you into that?
I think I, interestingly, did not have the childhood experiences that many people think that channelers or psychics have had, that we were seeing angels at an early age, or perhaps saw a deceased grandparent, or played with fairies in the backyard. I had no mystical experiences whatsoever, but never really related to traditional religion, and always felt that people should have a very personal relationship with God rather than it having to go through formal religion. And about 15 years ago, I read M. Scott Peck's book, The Road Less Traveled, which was very popular at the time, and upon finishing it, had a sense that I had a mission that I was as yet not aware of. And shortly thereafter, the movie version of Shirley MacLaine's book, Out on a Limb, was on television, and I sat glued to the TV thinking, my God, this answers every question I've had my whole life. And it was, of course, being connected to a higher source, and she was visiting a psychic as part of the story, and the book spoke of reincarnation, which at the time was a totally new concept to me. So that got me very interested in this, and shortly thereafter I took a class in psychic development. And as part of the class, the teacher was throwing out questions for us to answer, and also having the other students pose questions. And I found that I was getting answers to the questions and had absolutely no idea where the answers were coming from. And it was interesting because in that format, I was giving advice to people, and I find that that's what I prefer doing now, that I don't really like doing future predictions a lot, but use the higher level guidance to help people when they're having problems, be it relationship problems or career or not knowing what their life purpose or mission is in this lifetime. Also, any issues they're dealing with, or health matters and past lives. And that's one of the most fun things for me to do, is just to close my eyes and see what appears to be a film passing before me of scenes of a previous life for this particular person. And then I can tell them what I'm seeing and how it relates to their current life, either in a positive way or perhaps creating a blockage. But one thing that I think is interesting is that it's not just a matter of us wanting to connect to spirit to help other people, but these spirits so much want to come through to the people here, and I think they don't always understand that we have angels with us and deceased loved ones and spirit guides, and they are just yearning to get the messages through. And I think it's so privileged for both of us to be able to do this, to help others. And it is certainly an honor and privilege to connect to the spirit realm, but I think also important for everybody to know that they can learn how to do it, that we are not exceptional at all in having this ability.
Well, my guest, Yvonne Perry, who was my guest last week, when I asked her, you know, what motivated her to write her book, More Than Meets the Eye, and she said she started to see spirits speaking to her, and she said, but I'm not a medium. And I said, well, to be honest, everybody is a medium. Naturally, we are all mediums, but unfortunately, we've been trained out of it as, you know, as children. Look at what children see and know and experience. And then, you know, people say, oh, I, I'm not psychic or I've got no intuition and I just nod my head and I say, but you are. You just mm-hmm. have got blockages to that because of conditioning. And what we need to do, each and every one of us, and even though I do this professionally, I'm still working on continuing to remove any blocks that keep me from being even more effective as a clairvoyant and as a mm-hmm. medium and as a channeler and what have you. Because it really is about tapping into different dimensions that are all around us. They're not up there somewhere, far and away. They're right in our midst.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe because I'm blind and can't see too much of what's on the physical plane, I don't have these distractions or interruptions from being able to see more easily into these other dimensions. And the veil is very, very thin.
It is.
And becoming thinner all the time. So if we can just put ourselves back in a space as children, and maybe that's why we need to think of the happy birthday song too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we've forgotten to make wishes. We've forgotten to pursue dreams. Thinking, oh, that's just child stuff. Well, no, it's not.
Oh, it's not at all. And it's interesting that you brought that up, because one of the things that I channel consistently for people is that in this very significant time where we are transitioning from third to fifth dimension, that we are to live heaven on earth. And that's twofold. And you just mentioned both aspects of that. One is that we are to have our wishes. This is a time of manifestation and having all of our dreams come true. And then the other side of the living heaven on earth is the spirit realm that we've been talking about. That we're learning that the deceased loved ones and the angels are not at a distance. They are right here walking on earth with us, and this is such a beautiful time to be living on the earth.
Well, I say hello to so many people all the time, and something so special that happened recently when I was giving a reading to a wonderful lady who's got an adorable 4-year-old daughter. And she told me that her daughter came home from a shopping mall one day and introduced her invisible friend, who was also a child.
Mm.
And so I said, okay, does she look like this? Was she wearing this type of a dress? Did she have hair like this? And I just started describing her. And she said, well, yes, as a matter of fact, that's exactly how my daughter described her friend. And I said, that's a real person.
Mm.
And so, again, I'm really wanting to encourage people, this isn't make-believe, and because I'm a medium, I just tuned right into that entity, who was a little girl, who had crossed over, and who had befriended this little girl who is living on the physical plane. And they do converse and have these very special conversations. And also, another thing about these invisible friends is that they've got a particular essence.
Mm-hmm.
And so it isn't something that is made up, because the child or the grown-up, it doesn't matter, if you're receptive, you will feel the unique essence, and tell me if you experience this, which I'm sure you do, that every entity that you channel has got a unique essence by which you recognize them.
Mm-hmm. And I frequently feel emotional energies as well as I'm bringing someone through, that my own energy will shift perhaps to an energy of excitement because they're having an opportunity to talk to their loved one here, or perhaps sadness, and most importantly, always love. Such a tremendous energy of love coming through. But you're right, and even here on the earth, we each have our own unique vibrations, and then we can carry that uniqueness with us when we have passed to the other side as well.
And that's it again. It's about the essence, and it's an energy thing and the soul thing. that is eternal. And as one who has been through a number of near-death experiences, and this was so wonderful talking to Bill about it too, Bill Taylor, bless him, when I heard him speaking, he was literally taking the words right out of my own mind and things that I've said as well, because through these experiences we're able to affirm, even with authority, that life is indeed eternal, that we just shift into a higher vibrational frequency when we cross over to the other side. And we can project a number of different forms, you know, whether we want to project ourselves as a child or whatever, it doesn't really matter, because there again, we will be recognized to our essence. And I recently had the opportunity to talk to a friend whose mum just crossed over in England about a fortnight ago. And I picked up on her straight away and was describing her. And my friend was just so relieved because I accurately described her mum and was able to feel her essence. And something else that's even more auspicious, talk about synchronicity, is that her mum and dad, who are both on the other side now, their names on this plane were William and Florence. And on the radio, I heard, this was made possible by William and Flowey, which was also her nickname.
Oh, my goodness.
So I sent an email to my friend and I said, your mom and dad are really speaking to me right now, and they want you to know just how happy they are, and that they are with you, and they are going to continue to help you in your work. So get ready to celebrate.
Oh, wasn't that wonderful?
It was so, so special. And, excuse me, I really, really want to encourage people about how everything is so interconnected, because everything is one.
Everything, and everything is energy.
Exactly. Exactly. It's all a part of the light source or the God source. And it is just so special when all of these affirmations that I keep getting and confirmations when I'm thinking about someone and then something will happen. And I'm a widow too, and I've got a number of friends who've crossed over, and they come to me and converse with me all the time, and it's really easy. But again, I really want to encourage our listeners that there's no reason why everybody can't do what we're doing. It's really, really easy. And I also encourage people, it's something that you relax into rather than focusing or concentrating really hard. We need to relax and just, you know, almost like going into the alpha state, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes. And that's basically what we're doing. We are raising our vibration in those moments to approximate more closely the vibration of spirit. And they say that's why meditation is so important and can enhance psychic ability, because when we meditate, we're spending time in the alpha and theta states and also spending time in spirit. So that helps us to feel closer to our own spirit form and spirituality, and to be able to contact other spirits as well.
Well, that is something that is really, really special, and I've been encouraging a lot of people about meditation and beautiful music and just allowing quiet time just to be, just to listen, and to honor, also just listening to the first thoughts that come to our minds and not censoring ourselves or editing ourselves and what have you, because usually the first thing that comes to mind is accurate.
Yes, that's our intuition speaking. And then we're so used to using our mind all the time that, as you said, it can sometimes override the intuition, but the intuition is always speaking to us. And I think people also think of channeling as maybe hearing word-for-word communication, but there are so many other ways that we can receive messages. They can come through our dreams, or perhaps being led to a book that we need to read at a particular time, or someone saying something to us where we think, wow, was I meant to hear that? And it was actually spirit guiding the person to say that. So I think the more we start looking for the many forms that messages come to us, the more we will become aware that we are really so connected to the spirit realm each and every moment of the day.
Now, Donna, what I want to do before we close our show, we've got 5 more minutes here. I would like you to tell people about your website and how they can reach you.
Okay, thank you for that opportunity. My website is www.wholesolutions, wholesolutions.com, and I can be reached at de@wholesolutions.com. And I would be happy to talk to anyone just about the type of work that I do or any concerns that they may have and see if I may be of service.
Well, that's really wonderful, and I appreciate you sharing with our listeners your contact information, because I've been to your website, and it's wonderful. You've done a wonderful job on that.
Thank you very much.
I think the more that we can spread the word about how real, and not only how real, but how totally natural all of this is.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me going through my near-death experiences to have the validation and the kick, as it were, the push to do this work, because, again, you know, when you're dealing with the witch hunts and people looking at you sideways because you're a channeler or a psychic or what have you, and said, you know, this is something that we all have and do, and that's why I also wanted to really make a point with Yvonne too. No, you indeed are a medium. We're naturally mediums.
Mm-hmm.
And especially as children, and if we can just get back to that place, you know, learn to make wishes again with full conviction, because again, we are putting energy into that which we really, really want, helping to bring it into manifestation. And I also encourage my clients to focus on what they really want,
mm-hmm.
not what they think they can have.
Yes, but when
difference.
We make our wishes, they should be completely unlimited.
And right now I'm wishing for a pilot with his own plane to be friendly, or her own plane, it doesn't matter. So he or she can fly me all over the place. And
oh, how wonderful. Well, you will surely manifest that, Juliet.
Do wonderful seminars and sharing people, sharing with people about near-death experiences.
You have 30 seconds.
Okay. And well, I really want to thank you so much for being with us, Donna, and bless you, and bless everyone. And again, my website is towardthelight.org. Blessings to all of you, and remember, only love prevails.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.